We're in our second week of the countdown to the first Noel, so we're on the countdown to Christmas, and if you were with us last week, you know we talked about the Christmas story and how it doesn't really begin in Luke chapter 2 with, in those days, Caesar Augustus. That's usually where we start telling the Christmas story, but the Christmas story begins all the way back at the beginning of the Old Testament, and the entire Old Testament is the foundation for why we need a Savior. It sets the framework for why the coming of Jesus was so important and crucial for mankind. So we're going through the Old Testament and showing that in so many other things that happened in the Old Testament, God is proving there's no other way. The idea that God himself would send his one and only son to die because of our sins is pretty radical to a world unfamiliar with Jesus. The notion that God would have to die himself for us is just crazy. So there's so much in the Old Testament that lays the foundation that there was no other way. There was nothing else that could do it except the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about Adam and Eve, and we talked about these simple rules that happen without Jesus. We said, number one, God can't make it simple enough that we can earn our way into heaven. If all it was that if we did a certain number of things, we could earn our way into heaven, Adam and Eve could have done it. All they had to do was not eat of one tree. That's the only temptation they had to resist. Don't eat of that one tree. And they couldn't do it. God cannot make it simple enough that we can achieve it through our own works. That sin nature in us will always stop us. Second is, we cannot achieve a closeness with God that will keep us from sin. So many of the other religions of the world try to act like that we can deny ourselves in this world or do certain things, and that will help us achieve this status with God. We will raise up to be with God, and that he will then accept us because we have become acceptable to him through our works. But Adam and Eve were flawless. They were without sin, in a great relationship with God, nothing between them. And yet, they sinned. So there's no way we can get close enough to God to earn our way into heaven, or Adam and Eve could have done it themselves. Well, today we're going to move on, but I want to start with a story. So I was hoping Marcy would be here today, but she's sick. So she's not here today, so I'm especially going to tell this story. Just between us. Don't tell her, okay? You can't share this. When we first got married, we thought we were busy. We didn't know what busy was, but we thought we were busy. But we liked to play games, and one of the games we played was Skip-Bo. Anybody play Skip-Bo? Okay. So we would play Skip-Bo. Well, when it wasn't going Marcy's way, she had a very unique way of resetting things. So if you give me a deck of cards and I shuffle them 6 or 7 times, I consider them pretty well mixed up, but that's not enough for her. The only solution to a losing game was to pick up all of the cards, throw them on the floor. They go everywhere. Now, the first time we were dating and she did this, I was shocked. I was like, what am I getting myself into? Next thing I know, it's me she's going to be throwing across the room. But no, so she takes the cards and she's like, they just need to be redone. Like, we just need to start over with that deck of cards and put them back together, and it would be better. And it was amazing how many times I lost that next round. I'm not saying I believe anything, but I'm saying I often lost that next round because she would just start over. The next thing that happens in Scripture is a start over. Sin enters the world through Adam and Eve, and a mere 9 generations later, the world is totally corrupt. Sin has permeated everything. Violence is out of control. I know we've never experienced anything like this in our entire lives. But the world was just so corrupt that God gets to the point where he says, I'm going to start over. We pick that up in Genesis, starting in chapter 6. We are a mere 6 chapters into the Old Testament, and we're starting over from scratch. Starting in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 6, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark. Then he goes on to describe the ark, and we pick up in verse 17. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, two of every kind of animal, two of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. And Noah did everything just as God commanded. Let's pray. Father, as we look at the flood, I ask that you would speak to us so many years later. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have this sin that enters the world through Adam and Eve, and it's really tempting to think there was something uniquely weak about them. It's easy to think that maybe if someone else were the first two people, they could have done better. We could have avoided this whole sin thing if only the first two had been a little stronger, had a little more spine, a little more conviction, been a little more committed. Here we see God shuts this down because he's going to start over with a new person. In a corrupt world, he finds the best. He finds the one living the best life. He finds the one doing the best, having the best relationship with him, living it out. He's righteous. And he goes to him and says, I'm going to spare you. Gather your family, gather the animals. We're starting over. Now, if it's just a weakness with Adam and Eve, then this plan might work. There might be something where Noah and his family are somehow stronger in will or stronger in purity, and that they don't fall for the same temptations that Adam and Eve fell for. And maybe this time people can achieve a relationship with God of their own good behavior, of their own good doing, of their avoidance of sin. Maybe if we just start over with better beginnings, we can get there. But we can't earn it. Noah and his family, the floods come just like they say. Noah builds the ark. They get on the ark. The rains come down, wipes off all life on the planet. I don't know why we put this in the halls of the preschool, because it is an enormous tragedy. Complete start over. Now, it's easy to look at this and say, how is God loving? How is God kind when he just wiped out everybody? How can a loving God do this to people? I think the fallacy is that we forget that the wages of sin are death. We earn the punishment coming to us because of the sin in our lives. The fact that he doesn't issue that judgment any particular day is only his grace and his mercy on us, because the wages of sin is death. If he withholds judgment another day or another week or another generation, that's his mercy on us. But if he gives us the judgment due us, that's not an act of anger or hate. It's still the love of God balanced with the holy judgment of God. Those have to be in balance. So God can be loving, God can be holy, and God can still decree a righteous judgment on mankind. So he starts over completely. And we have this hope that maybe it'll be better this time. That story is in chapter 6. We make it all the way to chapter 9 before the spoiler. Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 20. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. And there's this whole, like, weird scene with his sons and seeing him naked in the tent and dishonoring him. And we have drunkenness and sin all over again. We didn't even make it 9 more generations. We didn't make it anything. We only made it the time it took to plant a vineyard and make the wine. I don't know how long that took, but that's how long we lasted. But as soon as we possibly could, we were right back at it again. Sin. Inescapable. And that brings us to our third truth without Jesus. Without Jesus, we can't start over and be free from sin. Noah proves this. There is no way to just hit the reset button and think, I'm just going to start again, and this time it's going to turn out differently. I'll be better. I'll do better. I'll behave. I'll be more committed. It won't work, because the sinful heart is the sinful heart. And even if you wipe out 99% of the sinful hearts, the ones that remain are still sinful hearts. That's the truth of humanity. Now, we get to the point in our own lives where we wish, we get to a point where we're in the middle of something that we don't like and we wish that we could go back in time and change it. If I could just go back and undo that one decision. You know Adam and Eve had this thought. You know after the fall, there's some point where they're bearing the consequences of sin and they're remembering back to how great it was before they took the bite of the apple, wishing they could go back and change it. I mean, the truth is, none of us can. We all have things in our past that we wish we could go back, make a different choice, do something different. Maybe yours is just financial, and you wish you could go buy Apple stock back in like 1970-something. Or maybe you have the biggest regret of your life, and you wish you could just go back and do something different. You know, much like the Back to the Future movies where they go back in time and they want to change one little thing to make everything better, and then they go back to their time and they find out that, well, that one thing did change, but there's a whole bunch of new bad things that happened. I think that's how it would work for us too. I think we would find that we went back and corrected one mistake only to make others. That the one big regret we had is now solved, and we get back to our future current self and we realize that there's a new biggest regret of something else that we did. Because we can't, even if we could go back, we can't ever free ourselves from sin by any form of starting over. But we see people try. Tragic stories of people who get to some part of life and they've decided that they don't like their life. I know a family, Christian family. Husband got to a point in life and he decided the pressures of kids, the pressures of job, the pressures of family, the pressures of wife were too much. And one day he walked away from all of it. All of it. Trying for starting over. Thought maybe if he just left everything behind, flooded his life, and started something new, that it would turn out differently. And that his new soulmate would be better than his old one. And his new job would be better than his old one. And his new kids would be better than his old ones. Only to find out after he flooded everything, he was still him. All the flaws that infected his marriage the first time infected his marriage the second time. All the strife of his first kids came from his second kids. And all the pressures of his second job looked just like his first. Starting over didn't change anything for him. But he threw a lot away. Without Jesus, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. If you want a fresh start, there's only one way. There's only one way. It's accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way to get a true do-over. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. In Jesus, we actually do get a new life. We still can't go back and erase our past, but it can be forgiven. It can be forgiven in the eyes of God Almighty. It can be forgiven in the fact that that sin that once separated us from God is gone and not in the way of our relationship with God the Father anymore. It can be forgiven in that the consequences of that sin were borne by Jesus and not us. That we can have eternal life even though we've botched it. In that, we actually do get newness. Jesus comes in like a flood. He washes us clean from the inside out. He purifies us. And we do get a fresh start, brand new, a new creation. When we baptize, we say, buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in a new life. Because that baptism is a symbol of what Jesus does in our hearts. He gives us a chance to start over. That's him. He's the only one who can do it. Even after that, we're still incapable of living without sin. We're still not going to be perfect. But we have the forgiveness of our Father. When we confess to him our sins, he promises to be faithful and forgive us. He promises. That's our only shot at starting over. The amazing thing about God is that he will take you back. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad it is, no matter how dirty you feel, no matter what's bogging you down, doesn't matter a bit. There's nothing, nothing like the floodwaters of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. When we accept him as our Savior, he comes rushing into us, cleaning us out. He gives us his Holy Spirit to come in us, convict us of things that we're still doing wrong, show us the things that we need to be doing better to actually help sanctify us, to make us better. It's his work in us that helps us conquer sin. Jesus is the only one who's ever really conquered sin. We trust in his power in our lives to overcome the temptations and the sins that we face. We trust him. We rely on him for all of our goodness. Because without him, we're no better than the people we see in the Old Testament. We are unable to earn it ourselves. And it doesn't matter how many times we start over in our lives, it will end up the same. Because our fundamental problem is a sinful heart. That's our fundamental problem. And we will not escape it without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we cannot start over and be free from sin. So what about you? Have you experienced this in your own life? Have you come to the point where you've realized maybe you've gotten out into the weeds of life? Maybe you've realized I'm out past where I can handle. And I don't know how to get out of this. Starting over sounds great. I don't even know how to start over. But if I had the opportunity, I would certainly take it. God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to live on the earth in a perfect way, to model for us what it would look like if we could do it. He lived a perfect, holy, blameless life, totally unified with the Father for his whole life, until he sat there on the cross, taking on the sins of the whole world, and his Father turned his back on him for the first time, and he felt that separation that we have with God because of our sins. He died on the cross, was buried in the tomb. God raised him from the dead 3 days later. But in taking our sins to the grave, he paid for our sins. He paid the price that we can't. That means today you can actually have a point of starting over. Today can really be that day for you. If you've never accepted him as your Savior and Lord, being our Savior only means that he saves us from the consequences of our sin. We are destined to spend eternity away from God because of the actions that we've taken. He saves us from that. He is our Savior. But he's also our Lord. We take him as our Lord because we say, you are the boss. I will give you my entire life. What you say I should do, I will do my best to do. What you say I shouldn't do, I will try my best not to do. I surrender my life to you. If you say it's good, I'll follow it. If you say it's bad, I'll avoid it. You're in charge. At that point, those are the floodwaters. Those are the floodwaters. And it doesn't matter how bad your life has gotten. When those floodwaters come in, it all gets washed away. It all gets washed away. And you get a fresh start. Forgiven of your sins, free to walk in a new life with Jesus Christ as your friend and partner, helping you to live righteously. The Holy Spirit pointing out all the things in you that you need to work on. Constantly. Or at least he hasn't been quiet with me yet. And that enables us to actually achieve a pure life, not by our works, but by his. And that's our only hope. If you're here today, you may have accepted Christ a long time ago. And you still feel like you've made so many mistakes since. Sometimes we go through an up and a down season of our walk with the Lord and we find ourselves feeling very distant from him. Not because he's gone anywhere, but because we have. And sometimes we just want a fresh start in our walk with him. We call that recommitting to him. You can call it whatever you want. But it's the point in your life when you say, I've already accepted Christ. I know I'm forgiven. I know I'll spend eternity with God, but I also know that I'm not living my life the way he wants me to. And I would like to start today by just saying, I'm in. I want to start over. I want to do better. I need his help. I confess that I know that I've messed up and I ask for his forgiveness and I know I've received it. And today I want to walk fresh with him. We're going to have a time of invitation here. I'm going to be up at the front. If you want to accept Christ for the first time, if you want to recommit to your life, man, come up. We would love to celebrate that with you. If you just want to pray for some hardship you're going through, I'll be up here. If you have your bulletin on the back of that visitor card, it says response card. And on the back of that are a lot of ways to respond. If you don't want to come up to the front, but you want to accept Jesus Christ, and we can talk about it later in the week, there's a box right on the top that says, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. Check that. And I'll be in touch with you. There's other options. If you want to get baptized, if you want to rededicate your life, it's all there. If you just want to make a commitment to God, Today, Lord, I commit to you blank. Do that. Put it pencil to paper and commit to God and his house to do what he's asking you to do. If you want to pray, if you want to meet with me, those options are all there on the response card. Just drop that in the offering plate, and I'll be in touch with you this week. If God's working on your heart, let today be the day. The only chance for starting over is him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. God, as we get ready for Christmas and the arrival of the baby, God, we love this season. We love everything about it. But God, we are thankful most that it gets us our relationship with you back. God, thank you for the Old Testament. Thank you for this collection that you've given us, a record of all the things that happened before him. God, in there we see that we don't have any hope apart from him of achieving a relationship with you. So we thank you for Jesus Christ. God, if anyone here hasn't accepted him, I pray that you would speak clearly to them today. Let today be their day. It's in the powerful name of Jesus I pray. Amen.